Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection with Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide during their anniversary sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at omahasteaks.com today. They're America's original butcher, and only Omaha Steaks delivers a full lineup of extra-age steaks so tender, they're USDA certified tender. Their customer favorite filet mignon has even been elevated to USDA certified very tender. And that attention to quality doesn't just stop with steaks. We're talking beefy burgers, air-chilled chicken, premium pork, and so much more. And every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the anniversary sale at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she couldn't shake the fear that their house was feeding on her family and it might still be hungry.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate that. If you have a real ghost story, we would love it if you would share it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And then if you want to become a premium subscriber, go ahead. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, who is fixing to go on a trip to New York City, is with me.
I am. I'm going for a couple reasons. It's kind of work-related. I still teach some online art classes. And by art classes, I mean like art appreciation, something like that. I'm not teaching drawing or something online. And I've done it, but it's not my favorite way to teach something like drawing.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Yeah. But I'm going because there's this great John Singer Sargent exhibit that's going to be there. And I'm going to get information and I'm going to write a unit for my class about it. So I'm doing it for that. But then, you know, I just love the art.
Yeah.
And I love to go to New York City every so often and just spend a couple, 2-3 days there. We're going to go to we're going to go to the Frisk Museum, which is an interesting one because they have a lot of art, but it's in an old mansion.
Yeah, you and I went there years ago.
And it was closed for quite a while they did, renovation type things. I assume it's an old place and they have to make sure it stays healthy. And so it's reopened. And apparently they've opened more of it now.
Oh, cool.
So I'm anxious to go see that. And then the show at the Met, and I'm going to do that. But we're also going to the play, Oh Mary.
Oh,
it's that Mary Todd Lincoln play.
Oh, you're going to love it so much.
I hope so.
Oh, my God, that would be so much fun.
So, and then I'm going to turn around and come back. So it's also my birthday weekend, so I'm spoiling myself for my birthday.
And your son, who lives in Philadelphia, is meeting you there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'd be fun to see him.
It's going to be a time I get to spend time with him. So it's good. And last weekend, I was in Seattle with my other son, his wife, and little Charlie. And we had a good kind of early birthday weekend. So good grief, I tell you. I've been to so many places recently.
Yeah.
Crazy.
How fun.
I know. And then we got Chicago in like 2 weeks.
I know. We're really close to our Chicago trip. I'm really excited about that.
Crazy.
So do you want to talk about a ghost story?
I don't know that I do want to talk about something that's eating or hungry.
Feeding.
That's the worst, right?
I don't like that word associated with a haunting. Feeding.
I know. I don't either. That when you said that one, I was like, ooh, I don't know how I'm going to feel about this story.
Well, let's dive in and see what we think.
Okay.
It says, hey there, you can call me Lacey. I don't usually talk about this stuff outside of a few people in my life, mainly my mom and my oldest son, because frankly, people give you that look. We understand. We've all had it. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening to this podcast has shared a ghost story or an experience and people have given them that look. We get it. You know the look, the polite smile that screams, oh, she's completely nuts.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We know that. So, yeah, this isn't exactly something I bring up at brunch. But I figured if there's anywhere people might understand what I'm about to share, it's here. So here's the thing. I don't know if I'm sensitive exactly, but I've had dreams all my life that turn out to be true. Not just weird deja vu stuff, but actual premonitions. And it's not just me. My mom is the same way. One of her dreams literally predicted the death of her best friend. She saw her in a black and white dress, and then a framed photo of the two of them fell off the wall and shattered. She had such a heavy feeling that she called to check in, and the friend had died that morning in a car accident wearing the exact same black and white dress. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not always death and doom. When I was around 10, I dreamed I was saying goodbye to my grandparents in an airport. I'd never even been on a plane before, but in the dream, they were sobbing like we'd never see each other again. They said I was flying to the United States. At the time, we were living in New Zealand and had no plans of leaving. Less than a year later, my dad got a job offer in the U.S. And by the following spring, we were gone. I never saw my grandparents again in person. They passed away over the years, all of them, while I was still over here. That's an interesting dream, too. That was just the beginning. When I was 14, I had a dream that I was in class, 9 months pregnant, and suddenly my water broke. It was terrifying and so real, and at that point, I wasn't even dating anyone. A year later, I found out I was pregnant, ended up having my son during winter break, so thankfully no dramatic labor in the middle of math class, but still, who dreams that and gets it right? There were more dreams, a breakup I didn't expect. I dreamt about it the night before. The gender and appearance of my second child. I saw her as a grown-up in a dream while I was still pregnant. She looks like that now. I never really understood what to make of all of that, but it's always been part of my life. And then we moved into, and then this is in italics, that house. Everything changed. It was Halloween night, 2005. My husband, our two boys, and I moved into a small brick house just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was one side of a duplex built in the 60s, nothing fancy. The neighborhood was quiet. We were happy to have a place of our own. We ended up living there for almost 9 years, which was actually too long. The other unit in the duplex had a revolving door of tenants. People would move in, stay a few months, break their leases. I always thought it was weird, but I never really asked questions. One of my friends even lived there for a short time, and she never mentioned anything strange, but maybe she didn't want to talk about it. The first odd thing I remember was this loud crash from next door, like someone dropped a bowling ball or a piece of furniture. It shook our wall and knocked our picture frames crooked. But the unit was empty. There wasn't a car in the driveway. No one was supposed to be living there. We checked around, no damage, no signs of a break-in. It happened once and it never happened again. Then there was a plastic drawer set. Just a cheap little thing with six drawers we kept next to the desk. It had scissors, stamps, some takeout menus, nothing valuable. One day it was just gone. Like gone, gone. We searched the whole house, every room, even the garage. We never found it. No signs of a break-in. Nothing else was missing. We joked about it for a while, like some ghost had a desperate need for rubber bands and expired coupons. But then things got darker. One night, my husband and I were just getting into bed when we both smelled cigar smoke. It was strong. It was like someone was standing right next to us, puffing away. My husband is not the type to get spooked. He's ex-military, totally rational. But that night, he jumped up, grabbed the baseball bat from the closet, checked every room, and nothing. Windows were locked, doors locked, not a single sign that anyone had been inside. The next night, our dog, a tiny rescue mutt named Waffles, is that the cutest?
Well, that is really cute.
That's an adorable name. Waffles came barreling into the bedroom, yelping like she'd been kicked, and dove under the bed. She refused to come out for almost an hour. She had never acted like that before or after. I worked the late shift back then at a diner. I'd get home around 2:30 a.m., shower, and unwind in front of the TV in the dark. One night, as I sat there with the volume barely on, I heard a clang, clear as day, from the kitchen, like someone dropped a metal spatula in the sink. I went to check and nothing. Sink was dry, utensils were in place, the house was dead quiet. But the creepiest moment of all happened a few months after our daughter was born. My husband and I were watching TV in the living room. The baby monitor was sitting on the coffee table between us. Now, we were way out in the country, so there was no interference, no nearby homes or CB radios. Suddenly, through the monitor, we heard someone coughing. Not a baby, not a child. It sounded like a man, a deep, gravelly cough, like someone older and sick. Two strong coughs, then silence. We just stared at each other. My husband whispered, "Did you hear that?" I nodded. I ran into the baby's room. She was sound asleep. Everyone else was asleep. No one else was in the house. There were other moments too, little things, shadows out of the corner of my eye, that gut feeling of being watched when no one else was home, cold spots in the hallway, and I swear to you, once at a hardware store, I saw a man in overalls appear out of thin air. My oldest son saw him too. One second he was walking toward the birdseed, the next he was gone. That house had a heaviness to it, like it fed off of tension. My husband and I were at each other's throats constantly, and while we lived there, we separated for almost a month at one point, both of us convinced the relationship was done. Then we moved, got out of that place, into a new home, and just like that, it was like a cloud had lifted. We were laughing again, spending time together, remembering why we fell in love. I truly believe it was that house. Whatever was in it was driving a wedge between us. So was it haunted? Was I picking up on something others couldn't? I don't know. I've lived in a lot of houses before and since, but that place was the only place that had ever made me feel like I was never alone. Anyway, thanks for letting me get that off my chest. Feels good to tell someone, even anonymously. I'm sure others out there have felt that same kind of strangeness. And if you have, just know you're not alone. That's from Just Call Her Lacey.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack here.
There's so many things, from the dreams, like premonition dreams.
Right. That she,
and so Lacey is definitely sensitive. But I also do think that she moved into a very haunted location. And that was messing with her and her husband mentally and emotionally. I think it was just a lot.
You know, I'm not convinced that this thing was intentionally driving the wedge between them. I just know from living in a haunted house that the stress and the tension can build from it. You know, that just constant feeling you're being watched, constantly, you know, things happening that you can't explain, feeling somewhat ostracized just from other people that seem to live in normal places, mm-hmm. right? And it just gets heavy. And I'm wondering if it was more of a result of living in it, less that whatever this thing was intentionally trying to break them up. It was just causing friction in their marriage because they were both so damn stressed out.
Could be.
But I wonder if there's just even more anxiety that comes from living this way day to day.
Yeah.
Because I felt it as, you know, living in,
oh my God, yeah,
more than one haunted house. And it's just that constant. And sometimes it's a dread. You don't even want to go home. You know, you just feel like, I don't even want to walk through that door.
Yeah.
So that alone would be enough to put pressure on your marriage. Once you get out of that and it feels better and you feel better, I think it makes sense that they would go, you know what, I'm feeling good about us again.
Yeah.
You know, shake that
but
off.
Man, all the things that happen, you know, and there's so many baby monitor stories, like creepy baby monitor stories. Like hearing somebody coughing through the baby monitor, I don't like it.
I do not know if it can be that a baby monitor can be on a frequency that picks something else up somewhere else.
Well, and that's what she, you know, said. She didn't feel, though, like they were kind of isolated, that it wouldn't be a CB radio.
It would be weird, right?
Because that happened that one night at that theater I used to work at years ago. And they had shut off the sound system. It was, the power was completely off. Now, it was plugged in, but there was voices coming through the speakers. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't make out anything it was saying. And then somebody was telling me, well, it's probably a taxi outside. And I'm like, then, okay, if the taxi's outside and they're on some two-way radio, we're on the third floor of a building.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent of a third floor where that was. Like, that makes no sense to me. There's no power. There should not be volume. How is it amplified then? How is it coming out through the speakers? Nobody could help me make sense of that.
Make sense of that.
And I could not understand. I just could tell it was a man, and I could hear it very loudly. And the other people heard it too. There was like three or four of us. And it was a notoriously haunted theater. Like, people had had experiences there. But
I just feel like in this case, they were living in a haunted house, and when they got out, they were better.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, whether this thing was intentionally, I don't know. I just think that possibly just getting out of it is enough to go, man, I'm feeling better. I know, I have felt better leaving a place that I lived that was haunted and felt more relaxed, happier, calmer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's just such a pressure that goes with it constantly. You never sleep well.
It's a pressure cooker.
And you're all the time.
You don't sleep well because every little thing you hear, it could be something. You know, you feel like things are moving around in the night.
Because they are.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got out of there.
Then
the dreams that she had, that was really interesting. Like, leaving her grandparents at an airport and they're crying. And then that really did come true.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. Thanks for sharing that. That was really awesome. In a creepy sort of way. Here is our next story.
I've called in a couple times before, but this is probably one of the more substantial things that's ever happened to me in my life. I was about 19, and I was living with my mom. It was probably about midnight, and I was in my apartment in my room playing video games, and her door was right to the right of mine. And I was sitting on my bed, and maybe 5 feet away from my door, out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw my mom across my doorway into her room. And this all happened in a matter of, you know, maybe 10 seconds. And it hit me that it looked like my mom was floating, like not walking. I paused the game and went to look at my doorway. I've never had anything like this happen before, or nothing like this. It, real quick, it like came from my mom's room from the right, swung around my doorway, came straight at me, and it was so fast. And it got about maybe 2 feet away from my face, and I blinked and jumped backwards. And it when I opened my eyes again, it wasn't there. But it was my mom. It looked like my mom had a white nightgown on. Looked like it was torn, like tattered all up. She had either white or blonde hair, and her face was white eyes, really older looking, like an older lady, and had her mouth open, which had, her mouth was all black with rotted teeth in it, and it really scared me. I paused for a second, and like, I couldn't have seen what I've just seen. I guess I tried to put it in the back of my mind, like, I couldn't have just seen it, you know, that kind of thing. But, after that, for a while, I started having these really bad dreams and experience things in my room, like something sitting on my bed. I was almost asleep, and something came and sit on my bed, and it made me kind of move toward it, I guess, when it sat down. And I thought it might have been my dog or something, so I jerked around real quick, and nobody was there. That, I had to sleep, it was kind of embarrassing, but I slept with cartoons on in my room, I guess for like the good vibes or something, or a comedy movie on for months, because I kept having these dreams of demonic stuff, like crosses turning upside down, me coming in contact with these weird looking things, like tiny black, horrible, horrible looking gnomish things in my dream, like gremlin things, that all they wanted to do was just hurt me. And I had this go on for months. And finally, I watched, after that, I kind of got into ghost shows, cats and all that. And I've seen that sometimes you have to take charge, tell it to go away. So one day after I had this dream, woke up and it felt like my room was shaking. I don't know if it actually was or not, but I woke up and I was either trembling so bad it felt like my room was shaking, or it was my room shaking. I'm not really sure. I told it whatever it was. I finally got up the courage to tell it stop. If anything is trying to take me over or get inside me or anything negative in my life, that it has to leave. It is not welcome here. It just has to go. And up until I was in my late 20s, I never had anything happen again.
So what do you think went on with all that?
Man, that is really scary. So this thing, it seems like it started with this apparition of this woman outside the door, and then comes Adam.
Yeah.
Right?
And he thought it was his mom at first?
Yeah, I think so. Well, you would.
Yeah, because you're going to go to that.
Yeah, you peripherally caught somebody and her room was right there. You'd think, oh, mom's walking past the door or whatever. But then he realizes, wait a minute, I think what I just saw was more floating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so then you realize, no, it's not mom. I think what's interesting is that it seems to have come in for some reason, because it didn't seem like there was a history prior to this, right?
Right.
And then this thing shows up. And then after that, there were these bad dreams that kind of went on and on. It seemed to be more in the dream realm, right? After that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, was there anything that happened outside of that? And I don't think there was. But I am glad that he took the initiative and then because it is very frightening and you don't know what to do. But because he said he started watching ghost shows. Well, I think that stands to reason, right? Like, you're watching it and you're thinking, I need some help. Let's see what these people are doing about it.
I think that is a double-edged sort of situation.
It is. It is. You're right about that.
I get why you do that. But then it also makes it even more front and center in your brain.
Uh-huh. But he did get the information from the experts on the shows that said, you've got to put your foot down. You've got to take control. You've got to tell them to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that. It seems to have worked for the large part.
Yeah.
That I can tell. Now, you know how you and I always have extra, like, we need more information. But with that said, was the mom having any issues? Because you are living with somebody else, and maybe he just didn't want to talk to his mom about it at all. But when you do live with someone else and things are happening, you know, you and I are both advocates of you know, laying it all out there and asking people if anybody else is having any problems.
Agreed. And I think it's a hard thing to do sometimes because you're going to be judged. And then you're like, this is going to sound absolutely nuts if I say this. But sometimes just suck it up and do it.
And then you may be very surprised when you find out that, yes, in fact, other people have been having issues.
Absolutely.
You know.
So I'd hope that doesn't continue forever.
No, I hope it's gone. It's weird that it kind of just showed up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of hung around, whatever this was. But now it seems to be better. So, you know, I think the main thing is that we have control. Like, we feel like we're in control and to take charge of the situation. In this case, it worked with him. So yes. I'm so glad about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy. So if you have a real ghost story, share it with us because we would love to hear it. You can call it in. It's 855-853-4802. Or go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber and get the advanced episodes, get access to the archive and no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.